We're going to continue in the study tonight of the life of our Lord on the earth, and the storm continues to gather, and the storm clouds are getting darker and darker and darker surrounding the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight it almost would sound like I'm not studying about Jesus, but I am in one way. We're going to look tonight about the life of Judas. So if you'll turn with me, please, we'll begin looking in John chapter number 6. I'm going to begin looking at two verses there, and then we'll look at other related scriptures as we study along together. John chapter 6, verse 70 and verse 71. The Gospel of John chapter number 6, verse 70 and verse 71. Jesus is talking about His choosing His disciples. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. In John chapter 6, Jesus says He's chosen the 12, and one of them is a devil, and He's of course speaking about Judas. I want to share a message surrounding Judas's life tonight about the deception and the destruction of living a double life. That's exactly what Judas was attempting to do, being one of the 12. Now, someone said, a person who's attempting to live a double standard life, keep your eyes on them. In this particular study tonight, we're going to keep our eyes on Judas because he is the indeed betrayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some things you might want to know about Judas before we just get into the negative things concerning his life. Judas was of the tribe of Judah, the same tribe through which our Lord Jesus came. He was raised in Judea of the tribe of Judah. Judas was an honorable name. It really was. And so there's nothing wrong with his name. But could there have been, he was raised in Judaism, could there have been a more loyal Jew than Judas? Born right, in the right family, in the right tribe, well upstanding, fine young man as far as things look in his life, honorable. But could there be something less honorable about Judas? We'll see. We'll look. It's always been kind of strange to me to think about how Jesus chose His 12. If you go back and just kind of recount how He did it, you would have thought that Jesus would have just looked all over all the Jews, and Jesus would know all about them, and Jesus would have chosen the 12 to be the most educated, the brightest minds of all the men in Judaism there, the most fine, upstanding men, the most talented men, the most educated men, men to fill His positions as the 12 apostles. Wouldn't you just have thought that? That's not what Jesus did. He didn't go to the top, the Pharisees, the most religious or the most so-called dedicated or the so-called most religious people or educated. He didn't go to the top. He avoided them altogether in choosing the 12. Let's just see what He did, how He chose. Well, first of all, He chose James and John, brothers. They were called the sons of thunder, you remember. James and John were the two who told Jesus, "Jesus, let us just call down fire from heaven and destroy those heathens." Men of great tempers, Jesus called James and John. But then on the other hand, Jesus called Andrew. Andrew's rather timid, and He chose Peter, the most outspoken person you could have ever chosen. He chose Peter. Well, He chose Levi, later He called him Matthew. He chose Matthew, the tax collector that everybody hated, because he was a friend to Rome, extracting more than taxes from the Jewish people, and so nobody liked Matthew. Yet, Jesus chose Matthew. He also chose Nathanael. You remember when it was told to Nathanael that they'd found the Master, Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Questions, cynical. And then he chose Thomas, one with all kinds of questions and doubts in his heart and his mind. He chose Thomas. If you would have looked at all the 12 that he chose and just kind of look at their biographical sketch on the surface, you would have thought that Judas would have been the most prominent one that he would choose out of all the 12. He was a young zealot. He was always interested in the kingdom to come. He wanted Rome overthrown, and he wanted the kingdom to be set up. He wanted to be a part of it. So you would just have thought that Judas would have made more sense to call him than probably maybe any of the other 12. Or was he a good choice? Jesus said, and we know later, "One of you is a devil that I chose." And you know who it was, don't you? It was Judas. Judas. When Jesus fed the 5,000, you remember we studied about that just a little previous tonight. We studied about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And you remember we said that the crowd just overwhelmed Jesus and they wanted to just take him by force and make him king and set up his kingdom right then. Well, old Judas was sitting on the sidelines. He was saying, "Yeah, let's do that." That was a moment he was waiting for because, you see, he also wanted the kingdom set up. And he thought this was a time when this king's going to set up the kingdom and overthrow Rome. We're going to just be right there in control. But, alas, he was disappointed, wasn't he? Well, Judas pretended on one side to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But on the other side of his life, he was a devil, he was a thief, and a betrayer. Trying to live a double standard life. Trying to live a double life, if you will. And I want you to see in his life tonight how that living or attempting to live a double life only brings deception and destruction to the person. Now, I want you to also see how the end of a life comes to be from a person who tries to live a double life. Now, these are some questions you need to consider. What happened to Judas? What caused him to be like he was? And when did these things happen? How could these things be? How did it all come about in Judas's life? These are good questions, and they need and they deserve some answers. And we can get some answers from the life here of Judas. And I want you to keep this in mind as we look through this study. Ask yourself the question, where am I in this story? Now, there's about five things about Judas's life that I have not much to say enjoyed studying about him, but I have really felt it needful to look at him and to kind of bring some things out about his life that maybe you don't know, don't realize, hadn't heard. Let's look at them together. The deception and destruction of a person trying to live a double standard life. First of all, notice this about Judas. See his consideration of all the godly influence that Judas had had. All he had been exposed to in John 6, 70 and 71. Jesus plainly said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" But just stop and think. Now listen, Judas was chosen along with the other 11. Judas had received all the same training that all the other apostles had had. He had seen all the miracles Jesus had done. He had been with him. He had probably seen him pray side by side. All the wonderful things. He had been given the same power that the other apostles had been given to heal the sick and raise the dead and just, you know, take on Satan face to face. All these things the other apostles had, Judas had the same privilege that they had had. Every one of them in the group had the same privilege of this godly Son of God influence in their life. But deep down in Judas, something was dark. Something was happening in the life of Judas. He had been so accepted and so well thought of that, well, they even gave him the job of being treasurer over the group, Jesus and his apostles. He held the bag, the Bible says. He was the treasurer, so you know they accepted him and they trusted him, and so they gave him the position of being the treasurer. But something was wrong in Judas's life. All the godly influence he had been exposed to didn't seem to have taken effect in his life, did it? Listen to me. You can be born in a Christian family, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Now, you can come to any church, you can associate with God's people, you can attend church and listen to all the music, all the prayers, and all the preaching and everything else, and you can be friends with all the church people. That's not going to make you a Christian. It's just not going to happen. But Judas had every opportunity that the other 11 apostles had, but it didn't take effect on him, did it? Beloved, listen, to grow spiritually and to mature in the Christian faith, we've got to take in what Jesus offers us, and we've got to submit to the truth of the Word of God that we hear. That's got to happen. That didn't happen in the life of Judas, did it? If that doesn't happen, here's what does happen. Otherwise, if you don't take it in and do what the Bible says, we'll deceive ourselves and become our own worst enemy. This was Judas starting off in his life. Look at his life with me. His consideration of all the godly influence that it had. Second thing about his life, I want you to see the corruption of his greed and his lust for power. Look in John 12 with me, close by there, the Gospel of John chapter 12. Look at verse 5 and 6. John chapter 12 and verse 5 and verse 6. You remember the story here of Mary coming into Simon's house, and she anoints Jesus' feet with that precious, expensive perfume, and she wipes his feet with her hair, and then up pops Judas, the treasurer now, the one who holds the money. Up pops Judas. He gets real vocal, and in verse 5 and 6, look what he says. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So you see the corruption in Judas's life, the greed in his life. Something now radically wrong in Judas's life is beginning to surface, isn't it? See it here in the story. Judas wasn't concerned about the poor. He wasn't concerned about Mary. He wasn't even concerned about Jesus. He was concerned, however, about the 300 pence. He was concerned about the money that could have been obtained by selling the ointment and putting it in the treasury that he carried so that he could have more money. You see, he was an embezzler, we'd say today. Jesus called him just a thief. That's what he was. We'd call it a nicer word today, an embezzler. He'd been embezzling money from the treasury of Jesus' group of his disciples. We don't know how much and we don't know how long, but we do know he'd been doing that. Stealing. He's a thief, an embezzler. Now he sees another opportunity, you see, to get more money, to put in so-called his bag. So he's very vocal, speaks out against it. Why wasn't it sold? And let me have the money. We'd take care of the poor. No, he wasn't going to take care of the poor. He's going to put the money in the bag, and then he was going to steal from it a little bit later. Well, he went for it anyway, didn't he? But alas, it had already been done. He was duped in this matter. But you see how his lust and his greed for money and power had begun already to deceive him. You know, it still deceives people today. Brother Sam's not here tonight, but Tommy would know. We leased some land one time from a guy to deer hunt. And we went with Sam to pay him. We paid him cash. And this man sat in his home, and Sam and I sat around him. He spread this money out on the floor. Hundreds of dollars now. It was a pretty good piece of land we leased. Sam leased some, we leased some. And all this money was cash. We give it to the guy, and he set it and just spread it around the floor. And he just looked at it, he just smiled. Then he gathered it all up, and he put it to his heart like that was a little baby. How he just treasured money. He loved money. Never could get enough money. But nonetheless, you see this same trend in the life of Judas here, don't you? It is true, and Judas' life proves it out, that the love of money is the root cause of all kinds of evil. Well, Judas is on a downward spiral in his life, and you see it happening here from his godly influence from Jesus. You see his corruption here now of his own greed and his own lust. I'm talking about a person who is deceiving themselves, trying to live a double standard life. But look at something else about Judas. Third thing. He's starting a downward spiral. Now he comes from his corruption and greed. He goes and he starts communing with God haters. Look at it with me. Look to Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 14 through verse 16. Matthew chapter 26. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 14 through 16. Here Judas goes and communes with the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the chief priest. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, now notice this important, and from that time he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. Look at verse 24, you're in the same passage there. Jesus says, The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Along those same lines, look over into Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. See some more verses. Luke 22, look at verses 2 through 6. You get some information more about this. Luke 22, 2 to 6. Luke 22, verse 2. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, talking about Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And you know he betrayed Jesus in the garden with a kiss, didn't he? You remember that story, how it goes. In his own lust and his own greed and for money, Judas allowed Satan, the Bible says, to enter him. What do you think that means? It means he allowed Satan to take complete control over him, and Judas completely gave himself over to the control, complete control of Satan. Now listen, we don't know for sure. No one knows for sure. No one can know. The Bible doesn't say. No one can know for sure exactly when this happened in Judas's life. But we do know it happened because the Scriptures tell us it did. We don't have to know when, we just know that it did actually take place, didn't it? Yet see now what happens. Satan controls him. Now Satan leads him to the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the captains. He leads him right to a group of God-hating men. All these men hated Jesus. Their plan from the beginning was to seek some kind of way to arrest him and to put him to death. And now you find Judas, one of the 12, going right in the hands of those God-hating religious leaders. And he communes, the Bible says, he communes with them about how that they could arrest Jesus and kill him. And he agrees with them that he'll reveal and betray Jesus to them for 30 pieces of silver. You see the money factor here? Here's an opportunity now to get more money and betray Jesus also in the same vein. Now, like I said, their plan altogether was to kill Jesus, their leaders. So they were more than just glad to commune and to covenant together with Judas to have him betray the Lord Jesus into their hands. In other words, he was going to deliver Jesus on a silver platter unto them. They couldn't wait to agree with him. They couldn't just wait to say, yes, we'll do this. Well, beloved, listen, there's nothing, no sin more deadly than the sin that goes on undetected. Now their plan is in place. Judas would betray Jesus, keeping our sinful natures concealed as long as we can, keeps us from doing this, just like it is in Judas's life. It keeps us from applying what we need in our life for salvation, trying to live a double standard life and to pretend to be one thing and actually be something else in the process. Well, we'll see how this causes more damage in a person's life as we look at it in the life of Judas. A fourth thing I want you to see. See Judas's conviction of the grievous sin that he had committed. Go back to Matthew 27 again. Look at verse 3 through 5. Matthew 27, verse 3 through 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Went and hanged himself. When Judas really saw what he had done and that he was condemned, he got real remorseful. When did he see this? How did he come to know this? I'll tell you when he began to realize it, when the Holy Ghost began to bring conviction on his heart of what he had done and how he had lived, trying to pretend one thing and actually living something else. That's when it was brought to his attention. And under great conviction, the Bible says, he was in great remorse. Now listen, remorse and repentance are two different things altogether. When it says here he repented, it doesn't mean he repented of his sin. It means he had remorse for being caught in what he had done. You don't ever find anywhere where Judas repents of his sin that he committed. He was just sorry that he got caught. Just like people I've known over the years, and you have too. They weren't sorry they did what they did. They just sorry they got caught. And the Bible says, be sure your sin's going to find you out. They found out Judas. They find out me. They'll find out you. So you see, the sinful deed is already done. He admitted he had betrayed innocent blood. Of course, talking about our Lord Jesus. It says he repented himself. Well, to the point that he was so regretful that he had got caught, he took the money. He goes to the temple and he throws it down at the feet of the chief priests, the scribes and elders, and the captains of the temple. And they said, what is that to us? We don't care about you. We don't care about the money we gave you. We've got plenty more money. You take care of it, Judas. You did it. Now it's on you. You carry it. You carry the burden. Well, see what grievous sin brings in a person's life? He was caught. and his wicked sin was brought to his attention. Well, Judas really came to see that living a double life, he was living what is actually bringing him. Look what Satan did to him. Look how Satan used him. Look how Satan duped him. Now that the deed was done, Satan had used Judas, all that he planned to do in getting Jesus betrayed and brought before and killed. So now he just reveals before everybody the sin that Judas was guilty of. He just unmasked Judas totally and revealed the consequences of what this sin is going to bring in Judas's life. How foolish Judas had been. When all this self-condemnation, all this shame came upon Judas, all this humiliation and this regret that he got caught, all this hopelessness is in his life, it overwhelmed Judas. It does people like that today. Over the many years that I've been privileged to be a pastor, many, many times over the years, I've talked to people who were just like Judas. They didn't regret doing what they did. They just regretted getting caught at it. Beloved, listen, we all know at the beginning, if you read the Bible at all, you know the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. That's not most of the time, some of the time, once in a while. That's every single time. It found out Judas. It finds out people today, just like it did in Judas's life. Well, now Judas couldn't live with what he had done. So now you see the ending of a life of a person who tries to live a double standard life. It carried him to the further end of his remorse. See how, lastly, the condemnation of a godless sinner. In Matthew 27, verse 5, you see what it says. That Judas, after he had seen what he had done, in verse 5 it says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Hanged himself. Satan always uses sin and he twists it to a selfish motivation. And a person gets caught up in it like Judas was to serve the purpose of Satan. And when Satan's work is done, he just casts them aside. And here you find Judas condemned now to his own death. You know, it is true what James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote. James said, when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Now you see it here in the life of Judas. Judas was now not able to live with what he had done. Yet notice this. He wasn't willing to repent of his sins. He'd rather take his life than repent of his sins and get it right with God. Oh, how many people we've known. How many times I've stood over caskets, coffins of people that I knew and loved had committed suicide because they couldn't seem to live with what they'd done when they were exposed and Satan sitting back and laughing and mocking and making fun and bringing shame, humiliation, hopelessness to a person's life. So they go out and they take their life rather than repent of their sin and get it right with God. That's exactly what Judas did right here. He went out, the Bible says, and he hanged himself. Here's what the problem was in Judas's life. He failed to get the connection between remorse and repentance. A lot of people today, don't be too hard on Judas. A lot of people today are doing the very same thing that Judas did. They fail to understand the difference between remorse and repentance. Remorse is just being sorry that you got caught. Repentance is repenting of the sin, asking the Lord Jesus to forgive you and cleanse your life. Judas failed to make that connection, just like a lot of people are today. All the time he had spent with Jesus had apparently not taught him a thing. People sometimes live out their lives in a church setting, They get years and years and years of association with God's people, and one day they do something like this, and you think, they haven't learned a thing. They haven't grown at all. They missed the whole point of what teaching's all been about. Well, it did in Judas's life. He failed to make the connection. The devil had used him, abused him, cast him aside. He couldn't live with what he had done. So now he goes out and he commits suicide. That's the ultimate deception that the devil will use against anybody. Say, well, you know, just take your life. It's not worth it. It's hopeless anyway. Nobody's ever going to have any confidence in you anymore after what you've done, how you've lived. Nobody's going to want you even around their sight. It'd be better just go ahead and take your life. That's the greatest deception Satan's ever put on anybody's life. One of my closest friends committed suicide. And out of this day, after years, still wonder. And this man said he was a Christian. I believe that he was. I still have questions. Why didn't he turn to the Lord in all these things? Well, Judas, you could mention the name Judas to just about anybody, anywhere, and they'll know who you're talking about. Yes. You know why it is? Because Judas is looked at by the whole world today, even years and years and years later, Judas is still looked at as the world's worst, heinous traitor. That's Judas. You mention Judas, and it associates automatically with that, doesn't it? Now, I close with this. Listen to us. Don't you be fooled to think what happened to Judas can't happen to you. It's those who think they're immune to this happening to them are the very ones that are most vulnerable to it happening to. Those that it happens to, listen, have just failed to read the Bible. It doesn't matter how much godly influence you might have been around, or how many churches we might have joined, how many conventions we might have attended, Bible studies, seminars, doesn't matter. None of these things will make a person a Christian. Judas ended up being a Satan-possessed monster. That's what he was. If we think it couldn't happen to us, we better think again. The Bible says this, "Let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall." You see, you're not immune from this. I'm not immune from this, just as Judas wasn't either. Here I close with this. I ask the question again. After looking at this story of Judas, we have to ask ourselves, where are we in this story? Good question. Need some answers. Deserve some answers. But only you and I, we can answer them for ourselves. Amen.